the NFL podcast is really stretching this off-season content.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined in a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What is up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
It is officially, we are 100 days away from NFL 100. The kickoff of the 2019 season is 100 days away. How about that?
Exactly as we tape?
As we tape on Tuesday afternoon, we are 100 days away.
Well, no, we'd be in the middle. We'd be at the edge of the first games of the morning here in L.A. It's 1:12 p.m. and veering into the second games.
Right. But from a day's – I'm not saying to the hour or to the minute.
I am.
100 days away.
Well, this is our time. This is the best time of year. Let's be real about it. Memorial Day weekend is a nice part of it. We had Wes's wedding.
Nice pop.
And it's
pop.
Still continuing until about, you know, training camp. So this is the time. So you could, Matt Money Smith can eat it with his little start in terms of stretching content. This is time of the year to stretch our legs, enjoy our families and friends.
That's nice.
Let's continue to verbally assault people who have been working for free for almost 7 years on this show.
Speaking of spending time with family, I was at Legoland. A very nice family, Wes, since you know, you're on the plan. You're on the May plan, which means engaged in May, married in May, kid one in May, and kid two in May. You're going to become familiar with Legoland in about 4 years or so, and it was quite nice. I enjoyed it. I also enjoyed getting a bunch of mentions about being a shirtless firefighter. I don't know all the context yet. I have not dug into Friday's show, but it sounded like it was a fun time with Steve Weish. But that was surprising.
I think you were celebrated. Would that be fair?
Absolutely. You're a focal part of Mark Sessler's guided meditation. 60 seconds only. It was a nice little
packed
interlude that relaxed everyone or aroused others.
A certain population of the audience.
No deeds of your own, Dan. I now think of you as a much more manly presence because of Mark's guided meditation.
Well, that sounds good. Part of me doesn't even want to check. There's a little bit of a mystery to it.
You
could probably fill in the blanks.
The story at this point.
All right. Coming up on today's show, we're going to hit the news, including the death of one of the great players in NFL history. So we'll get to that. And also, genies are hot right now. I mean, there's no way around it. There's no two ways around it.
Everyone's talking about it.
People are buzzing about genies. We're living in the age of the genie-sance. Aladdin. Greg, I know you love that website, boxofficemojo.com.
I just, I went with Box Office Guru, their rival right now, just to check what Aladdin did for the weekend, yeah.
Well, it cashed out over 100 million over Memorial Day weekend. So genies are hot, and there's no way around it, so we're going to lean into that. And that's a good way to grow listenership and also just be part of the zeitgeist. You want to be part of the national conversation.
Is that a sitar?
That's some Arabian music, right?
That feels like it's sitarish.
Feels like Aladdin, though. I mean, it did monster business. So,
absolutely.
You know,
genies are hot.
Mixed reviews. A lot of people whining about it. But kind of like how Big Bang Theory gets higher ratings than Game of Thrones, yet like no one really talks about. I mean, even this season with Game, you know.
Sure.
You know, but no one really talks about it. I feel like Aladdin, it's not on the tip of a lot of people's tongues that I know.
Well, 100 million.
Well, I mean, it was to your lashed by critics, which I've not seen the film, so I don't know why, but they found it to be wanting. So
within that,
box office proof.
With that in mind, we will put on our genie hats. I don't want to say something culturally insensitive, so I'm just going to call it a genie hat. I don't really know the background of genies in a big picture. I don't know what I never saw Aladdin, the cartoon, or this live action film. So the genie hat, you put it on. It's got the feather on it and the jewel. Am I doing okay?
I've never seen Aladdin.
Ricky, this was your generation, right, Aladdin?
How could you guys not have seen Aladdin?
Aladdin is our generation.
That's how old we are.
I never saw any Disney movies, almost. I saw, like, one or two, and then it was, like,
are you people?
It was like, hey, what do we need?
And the fact
I was in my 20s when it came out. Why would I be watching it later?
But he's never seen any Disney movie?
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying a couple. Bizarre.
Yeah, my mom took me to like Beauty and the Beast or something when I'm 7. I was like, I don't need to see any more of these. And I was like, no.
That's
what
a classic.
Do you mean you don't need to see anymore?
That's classic born age 32 because everyone knows that Beauty and the Beast came out in 92. Greg's just making up stuff saying he was 7. That would have been like, what, 86?
Whatever the first Disney,
classic,
you're right. That
no childhood movie
probably was not Beauty and the Beast.
Have you ever seen Pinocchio?
Little Mermaid.
It was it might have been. Yeah, I think that was it.
But
it was one when I was like 8 or 9, and it was like that once was enough. Trying to get out of there halfway.
Mermaid
through.
Was nice. I liked Mermaid. All right. Anyway, what I was trying to say was that we're going to put on those hats, and then we're going to grant a wish to NFL teams. So we're going to go around the horn a couple times, maybe 3 times, try to hit a bunch of teams and give a wish that will – or grant a wish. That's the correct way to put it. That will aid a team immeasurably in 2019 and perhaps beyond. All right. There you go. Let's do some news.
16 seconds remaining. 17 to 14. Takes the snap. He's got the quarterback sneak, and he's able to touchdown. The Packers are out in front. And the Green Bay Packers are going to be world champions.
Ah, yes, Bart Starr, his famous quarterback sneak in the Ice Bowl. Starr passed away on Sunday in Birmingham, Alabama, at 85 years old. One of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, of course, part of the holy trinity of Green Bay quarterbacks, Starr, Favre, Rodgers. Well, it all started with Starr, who won an unprecedented 5 NFL championships as the Packers starter in 61, 62, 65, 66, 67, and was known, in addition to being the leader of that team and the quarterback, but one of the great playoff players of all time, the guy that, in addition to just being the field general, stepped up to play in January when it mattered most, and that's how legends are made, and that's what Bart Starr was. He had suffered a number of health setbacks over the years, including strokes that had severely limited his ability to communicate. Peter King wrote about it in his column on Monday. The effort just to say a simple sentence late in his life became a great challenge. So Starr dealt with a lot of challenges late in his life, but he will be remembered as a Packers great and one of the more important players, Chris Wessling, in the history of the National Football League.
I think a lot of people think of Vince Lombardi as the greatest football coach of all time, and some people consider him the greatest American coach in any sport of all time. Bart Starr was an extension of him on the field, and this is a time for our younger listeners or those new to the game. In the 1960s, quarterbacks called their own plays, with the exception of Paul Brown's quarterbacks.
Listen up, Tim Posey. You could learn something here.
Bart Starr called his own plays, and I remember reading a book called One More July by George Plimpton and Bill Curry, and they were talking about coming up with the perfect quarterback of the 1960s based on composite traits. And a lot of it is unitis, like unitis' toughness, his accuracy. But the one area I think where they talked about you would want Bart Starr's game management, strategy, and play calling. He was calling his own plays. He looked across the line of scrimmage, diagnosed defenses in the same way that Peyton Manning, Tom Brady have done in this generation, and he was the best at it. So I think that, to me, you know about his playoff record. You know about the 5 championships, the quarterback of arguably the greatest dynasty in the 20th century, and I think that's his legacy.
Well, and he first of all, he won 3 straight. So he has the 5 titles. Because a lot of times when they show, okay, Brady's got 6 and they show Super Bowls, it always kind of bothers me because it's like, well, Bart Starr kind of gets jobbed there. Because
it's not named
he won the
Super
first
Bowl.
2 Super Bowl MVPs, first of all, which is, that's no one's ever going to do something like that. He's the only person to have won 3 straight as a quarterback. Tom Brady hasn't been able to do that. But I think what stands out with him is that, like, Lombardi wouldn't have gotten to Lombardi without Bart Starr. He was a backup. He had gotten benched at one point, but at some point they were starting to roll teams offensively. There was a big championship game against the Browns where it was expected to be like this titanic battle of the two best teams, and they rolled them up 55-7, and Bart Starr's throwing passes all up and down the field. I kind of went into when I first started in football thinking the same thing, that he's just kind of this game manager that got carried along by the team around him, but it really wasn't like that.
You mentioned that the Lombardi needed star and star needed Lombardi. You could say the same thing with Belichick and
Brady.
It's the conversation we have today about who's more important. And this is, to me, one stat that stands out in terms of all-time dominant stretches. And, yes, we're witnessing one right now in a never-ending fashion in New England. But from 1961 to 67, Starr went 69-18-4 as a starter in the regular season and 9-0 in the playoffs. They defined 60s football.
I also think he played till age 37, which you think back then, oh, no quarterback obviously could fare well, which there were a handful of guys that played way longer than most thought. And he played his last three-plus seasons as almost a favorite of the Packers per stories because he wanted to retire, and they didn't have the proper quarterback to hand the team off to. So who would do that today? Hang around for nearly half a decade longer to do the Green Bay Packers a favor? There's this other great story where a fan basically wrote him and said, you know, after one of the many infrequent failures they had, they were so easy to watch, that he was running out on the – he was done with the Packers, this fan. And Bart Starr wrote him and he said, "We are sorry to lose you as a fan, of course, but what is sadder is the example you are setting for your own sons. I hope while you redirect their young minds in the future, you will include tolerance so that when you occasionally err or unintentionally disappoint them, they will not lose their faith in you." Dropping a bomb on someone
that,
through the U.S. mail.
He dunked
not a literal
that
bomb, a verbal
snail
bomb.
Snail mail.
I also, the other thing is, around the time, and I know Wes and I are so much older than you two, but it's like when we would start watching football in the
mid-80s. Like legit. That's pretty.
Every Sunday, they would drop on you clips of the Ice Bowl, clips of Bart Starr. And to us, and when you're growing up, you look back and you think, those guys must have toiled 50, 60, 70 years ago because it's grainy black and white footage. But the space between that time and when the clip they were showing is no different than watching rookie year highlights of Tom Brady at this point. Meaning we are very old, but that ancient time
that
really was
crazy.
Not as far as away as we think. And Bart Starr was a pivotal foundational member of the NFL we watch today in a million ways.
He coached for 9 seasons too and had a really rough record. That would never happen in the NFL now, that he almost had no winning seasons. That didn't go well because he was always almost – they said he was afraid to criticize, but like one of his famous moments as a player is essentially told Lombardi, stop, you know, he confronted him, stop kind of taking me down in front of the team, that he thought it was bad for the team. No one had really stood up as much to Lombardi before, and that was kind of when he became the guy.
Well, Unitas, his famous quote is, "You don't become a quarterback until you can tell your coach to go to hell."
Yeah.
There you go. Bart Starr, dead at the age of 85. Moving on. To modern NFL talk, we'll start on the throne of sleaze, where the New England Patriots, of course, are moving on or seeking to move on from the Rob Gronkowski era. Part of that was bringing Ben Watson out of retirement, but there's a little bit of a snag there because Watson revealed in a Facebook post on Sunday that he failed the drug test administered in March, and there's a little more to this story than usual when these things pop up, because Watson was very open about it. He owned it. He said, "Hey, listen, I retired. I was 38. I was done. I went to a doctor. I was all banged up because these guys, their bodies just get brutalized. And I was administered or prescribed a medication that would make me feel better and make me heal up in a more speedy fashion." It happens to be what that was, bioidentical testosterone cypionate, which Wes takes every day.
That I don't happens. Think I could afford
that
it.
Explains the body. Yeah. It's starting to make sense.
That falls under the NFL's banned substances list. So when the Patriots brought him out of retirement, Watson didn't even realize at first, and then bang, he gets hit with the positive test, which triggers the 4-game ban. So again, and we talk about this, I feel like on this podcast we're all in lockstep that the idea of performance-enhancing drugs, there's a difference between when a guy like Deion Jordan gets popped. What was the famous – I love it.
It looked like his shoulders were inflated.
Yeah.
Yeah, blown up.
And what happens with these players, because their bodies take such a beating, they're just trying to get better. And Watson was not trying to beat the system or anything like that. He was just trying to get better. In general, I would think, Greg, that they should loosen up some of these things just to let the players heal and let modern medicine do what modern medicine can do. But Watson out 4 games, but he'll be back. And the Patriots built into the contract potential escalators to recover the lost money.
They knew. So he found out. He had already decided he wouldn't come back or he was open to it. But then he found out literally that week as he was talking to teams, primarily the Patriots, that this was going to happen. So they knew it before they signed him, and they decided to sign him anyways. Maybe not the worst thing in the world for a 38-year-old guy to play 12 games. It does kind of point out, though, like how crazy that, like, Doc, you know, how crazy a spot it is for players and the league that, like, it's good for his body. You know, doctors prescribe what the NFL counts as PEDs all the time at this point, you know. You know, that it was like good for him to recover, and yet it's something you can't take.
And the cloudiness that must be draped over any time anyone goes into a doctor post-career or even during a career and is recommended something, whose job is it to safety check all the ingredients and find out if you're going to get banged with a suspension?
Right. He said he didn't even think about it because he thought he was retired.
And I will tell you once again, and I've mentioned it before and I'll mention it every 2 weeks, Seth DeValve will be signed to the Patriots.
Okay.
He fingers crossed.
Is he unsigned right now?
He's on Cleveland, so either I think he's going to get dumped by Cleveland at one point and get added, or I can see a low-level trade, which in theory will become a high-level trade when he catches 80
What's your P scale on DeValve and Gordon having some key playoff moments to your consternation in 2020?
You know, I think last year when Gordon went to the Patriots, the Browns were nothing that they are right now, and it was just another massive annoyance. Couldn't care less today.
No,
you deal with Josh Gordon.
With it. And it's interesting, around this time with this Ben Watson situation is coming out, Chris Long, who recently retired, said that, you know, he smoked weed all the time. As a player, because the NFL drug policy was fairly easy to manipulate or just use common sense, because you knew your testing date ahead of time. And he said he didn't do, you know, he's not doing that to be, you know, listen to Sublime Records and hang out at Huckapoo's. He's doing it because it helped him heal mentally and physically. Mm.
Yeah, Steve Weish added some really rich details and analysis to that
subject on
Friday.
Was it? Steve, you know, by the way, Steve Weiss's body, by the way.
It's tight.
It's outrageous. You guys talk about that too?
Well,
we knew you would want to.
A comment just how he was the elder statesman in the room, but he clearly was in the best shape. Mm. And that inspired him to flex, which was caught beautifully by our social.
That's the only thing I think you would have wanted to have been in the studio for. It was quite a sight to the eyes.
But I also would like if we don't talk about that show anymore.
Okay.
It's come up twice now. I think it's
you brought it up for the.
I mean, we.
I was being magnanimous early on.
You know, you're taking a little shot at Sublime, but I feel like there's been like a mild critical reckoning with Sublime, that they're getting a little more love now than they were back in the day. People are like, you know what, Sublime actually. They were pretty good.
I always loved Sublime.
I did too.
You know, not everything needs a think piece. You know, does Sublime need to? Do we need a reckoning?
They're back.
Sublime.
I think they're back.
They were fine.
They were great.
I think the word mild was appropriately used there.
Gerald McCoy is still on the market. He met with the Cleveland Browns last week after his release from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after 10 seasons there. He spent time with Cleveland but left without a contract, Tom Pelissero reported. They had a good meeting, Mark, pay attention here. They had a good meeting, it was termed, between McCoy and the Browns. But he's going to meet now with the Baltimore Ravens. That was supposed to happen today, Tuesday. The Bengals and Panthers, according to Mike Garafola, other teams that have expressed interest in signing the six-time Pro Bowl defensive tackle. McCoy has also let it be known he wants to sign with a contender. Speaking of things that have changed, Mark, for your Cleveland Browns. So that does not take the Browns out of the mix by any stretch. McCoy, expect him to sign with a team that's, you know, in good condition right now as we enter the 2019 season. Just hasn't happened yet.
Well, I mean, if you're the team that he's already visited and left the building, and upcoming are the Ravens, the Colts, the Saints, and potentially the Patriots as interested suitors. You'd want to have gotten them, I think, before the holiday weekend, got them signed, get the whole thing moving. Now you're having to, like, track him down while he's hanging out with John Harbaugh. Not as easy.
Hmm. Big-time player. 45-plus pressures the last 2 years. If he was one of our top 101 free agents, he would have been in my top six or so.
But does the game match the name at this point? Yes or no? Chris Wessling.
Yes.
So I don't study interior defensive linemen as much as I should.
Reverse humble brag.
But what I've read about him is that he can still rush the passer, but more than ever, he doesn't hold the line against the run. That he cheats to get into position to rush the passer and freelances a lot. And freelancing, it's one of those fuzzy terms that's hard to pick up on tape if you don't know the defense or the assignments. But it's usually that's how players get released.
Gotcha. Moving on. Donovan McNabb, you remember him. He played many years for the Eagles, spent some time with the Redskins, but 11 of his 13 NFL seasons with the Eagles, 167 games. He threw for 234 touchdowns, piled up a whole mess of yards, almost 38,000 yards, and in general was one of the – if we did the Dalton scale back in McNabb's prime, he certainly was on the right side of that scale for many years. He would like to say he was on something called TMZ Sports, like a television show apparently. I know they have the website, but there's a TV show, and he was on it. He was asked if he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, and McNabb said, absolutely, I'm not hesitating on that. I am a Hall of Famer. My numbers speak for itself. My numbers are better than Troy Aikman, but he has Super Bowl rings, and he's played with Hall of Famers as well. Greg, you scoffed?
The Aikman thing.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Mm-hmm. Is Donovan McNabb, I'm going to open up the floor here, worthy of the Hall of Fame, or at least the discussion, a serious consideration?
Absolutely consideration and discussion, and he seems like a guy who might be right near the border to me, that he is in that mix. Because I look at it more like, how many top 10 seasons did you have? More importantly, how many top 5 seasons did you have? If I was doing the old QB index back then, I think McNabb would have been about 5 or 6 in the league for a long time. Like, he had a much better career, I think, and was a better player than Eli Manning, for instance, or some other quarterbacks that have gotten in just off of playoff run, that he was a top 5 to 6 type of guy for much of his career.
Sometimes it comes down to one game for these Hall of Fame things. And I remember 10 years ago, I think it was late in the playoff game against the Arizona Cardinals for the NFC Championship. McNabb ends up throwing for 375 yards and 3 TDs. The Eagles lose, and I remember thinking, if he wins that game, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Right.
He's still got 5 years left in his career. He still can do this. And then they lost, and I said, I bet he doesn't go to the Hall of Fame because of that loss.
And if he finds a way to beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, and it is – I would say Eagles fans would probably think this, although I think he has a bit of a complicated relationship with the Eagles fans. The story, whether it's true or not, I think it's true that he threw up on the field and that last key drive against New England. That's kind of, to me anyway, what if you say Donovan McNabb, what do you think of? I think of him throwing up on the field in the Super Bowl against the Patriots and being completely winded when the clock's ticking down and they're down 2 scores.
Not Andy Reid's finest moment either.
No, Reid deserves heat about how they handled the clock there, and Reid's always been famous about being poor with the clock. But that sticks to you, too. I mean, Eli Manning, maybe not as good a quarterback as Donovan McNabb talent-wise, but he has 2 Super Bowl MVPs, and McNabb threw up on the field.
I know he's also on television, and in that world he has to say provocative stuff. Well, he was on our network for a while, and I remember once sitting next to him.
He doesn't do himself any favors.
No, but he was like consistently seems like, hey, can you look this up for me? And I'm like, I'm actually writing articles, but I'll be happy to look up stats for Donovan McNabb, who's sitting next to me
really?
In the studio. But I don't need him to bring up the Aikman comparison on any level.
What he does. He can't compliment himself without tearing someone else down.
His Hall of Fame argument is completely separate to me. Aikman did exactly what he was asked to do, and there were a huge pocket of people that started the Tony Romo has better stats than Troy Aikman. We're talking about
a different generation.
Exactly.
Now
20 years
even,
separating it.
Now McNabb's stats actually look as good as they are for much of his career. They would look even better now because he was throwing 400 passes a year, 450. He was a running quarterback. But, I think Terrell Davis and some of the guys that have been on our air and other networks, I think it helps them ultimately get into the hall. I think it helps a little bit that they're just kind of in the mix. McNabb's like the opposite. The more he talks, the less chance I think he gets.
Yeah.
Because
Pete Rose.
This is not the first time he's popped up in the news. It's been many, many times. Jeez. And
lacks self-awareness. He's his own worst enemy.
It's a tough spot.
And it's going to get harder and harder for quarterbacks of yesteryear to make any fringe quarterbacks to make any argument because their numbers are going to be utterly drowned out.
I think I'm very high on him, and I think he's borderline. I think he has very, very little chance to actually make it, though.
Also, stop using stats in football discussions.
Bang. Okay, three more quick items here. I'll just spin through them. Richie Incognito signs a one-year contract with the Raiders. Mike Mayock spoke at Raiders OTAs today and made it clear that this is very much a touch-and-go situation. Incognito, who's had a host of issues on the field, off the field, you name it, has to be a good citizen inside and outside the locker room. But after coming out of retirement, he was still a very productive guard for the Bills in those recent seasons. So he signs a deal. J.J. Watt, he's engaged to a soccer player, Kealia Ojai. And he did the thing on Twitter or Instagram or social media where he had somebody stationed with a camera to get the in real-time photo, which I'm a little disappointed Wes didn't do this. I feel like this is something Wes would do, but maybe he didn't have a handler nearby to take the photo of him actually proposing in the same thing. A-Rod did it, and now J.J. Watt does it. And there's some connected tissue.
With a yacht in the background?
With a yacht in the background on a jetty, it appears. And what may be Nantucket.
So. Are we already at the stage where Wes is receiving brushback and, you know, I guess it would be criticism for the process of his getting married and what he went through?
I'm just saying.
We're a week away from the afterglow.
You would have liked that.
Wes and Lakeisha are a very social media savvy couple. Probably.
If he knew Erica better back then, maybe. You know, she.
That's true. Erica did shoot the wedding.
I don't think I've ever been accused of being social media savvy.
I know this one was on – these pictures were on Mark's radar for sure.
Well, I mean, I think I'm happy for him, and he's a overt, sort of luscious male product. He looks very good in the photos.
It looks great. And
nice
his clothing line. I mean, what a
I have one of his shirts, and I wear it all the time.
What
all
the product. Time. Excellent.
Every day.
Tremendous. And finally, in the news, Pat Shurmur spoke at Giants OTAs talking about their quarterback situation. Eli Manning and rookie Daniel Jones, you know, noted that they both have calm demeanors, but both are, quote, fiery under the covers.
Ah!
Would not have guessed it, but sometimes you never know.
How did that come up?
They were talking about, I don't know. I can't piece it together to you. I'm just saying what he said, under the covers, fireballs.
I do.
Sometimes you get surprised by those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, just even that Shurmur would know.
Right. It's how
right.
Is,
that's interesting.
How is this in his Venn diagram of information?
Extensive scouting department.
I do like all the pictures, which just...
It was part of the combine, by the way.
Sort of
interview
like
process.
The memes where it's just basically like the Spider-Man meme, except it's Daniel Jones and Eli.
It is weird. Like
where it's
Jones
like
is...
them just like as... Yeah, it's great.
Maybe he's like a secret late period Manning brother that was raised up in a different family. You know, that happens in like backstory.
He's much younger. He's a little bit better looking. And if he's a little bit better as a player, well, they made the right move.
Wait,
we'll
let's just drill down to what Mark's implying here. So you're saying that Archie Manning potentially had a secret child that was raised elsewhere under a
different
name.
I'm not necessarily, you know, putting Archie Manning out there as the guilty party. It could be anyone related to the either parent. But I'm not suggesting that this also is the case. If they look this much alike, their body language mirrors each other. I would just say it's out there as a suspicious scenario. And you're best friends with the quarterback, and then you're drafted by the Giants after the Giants have spent 2 years coddling Manning, waiting for Daniel Jones to be a graduate from college.
That is a great seg into our ad read here. This Father's Day, give Dad a gift packed with Omaha Steaks.
Archie, Braves. Love it.
Go to omahasteaks.com and enter code AROUND in the search bar for 74% off the Father's Day Steak Fix gift package, a big bucket of steak.
That's what you want.
Dad's going to like it. That's a $235 value for only $59.99. Order now and you'll get two tender filet mignon. Mark, you pay attention to this. This might bring you back. Mark, not a meat eater, but this might bring him back.
Ears peeled.
Ew.
Whatever that means.
Two bold top sirloins, two savory pork chops, four Omaha Steaks burgers, four massive gourmet jumbo franks. A lot of people don't connect jumbo franks when you're talking steaks, but guess who does? Omaha, baby. Four crispy chicken fried steaks, all beef meatballs, four premium chicken breasts, four caramel apple tartlets for dessert. Wes, how about that? A packet of Omaha Steak Signature Seasoning, which is very important, the seasoning. And you'll get four extra Omaha Steaks burgers free. Just go to omahasteaks.com, type the code AROUND in the search bar. That's omahasteaks.com, and type AROUND in the search bar to get the Father's Day Steak Fix package today.
Get that meat.
The most famous door-to-door Omaha Steaks salesman I know, Icky Woods.
Currently?
No, this was like 10 years ago. He used to do the Icky Shuffle as he was selling Omaha Steaks to people.
Life's tough.
I mean, I would buy them, though.
Life comes at you fast.
I'd buy steaks off of Icky.
Icky shouldn't have to be shuffling to sell steaks. That man.
Well, he's had a bit of a resurgence, you know, in the last
half commercial.
Decade. It sounds like it.
I interviewed Icky right when he had that. I think it was a Geico commercial. And it was played constantly, and I'm sure it was a nice windfall from financially, which doesn't sound like a bad thing. He seemed pretty pleased with himself. This was about 2014 or 13.
I maintain that Icky
on your radar.
Icky has always been an interesting character, and he made following football more enjoyable for a lot of people.
See, there's that soft spot in your heart for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, that was back when I was a fan. That was
coming
the 80s.
Around again.
Not bloody likely.
I mean, it was really a 1 year sensation of sorts.
Blew out his ACL the next year. Mm.
You got your money worth, Omaha. Genies are hot right now. Everybody knows it. No one's refuting it. It's just that's what's going on in society. And as I noted earlier, we have a popular NFL podcast. Well, it didn't happen by accident. We surf the zeitgeist. That's what we do here.
Surf the zeitgeist.
So what we're doing
here. There's a big genie show, too, a cartoon, Shimmer and Shine.
See,
very
you have
popular
a girl.
With the young girls.
Okay, very good. See?
Plugged in.
Genies. Unstoppable right now. So I'm going to put on the genie hat, and I'm going to hand them out to you guys. Bang, bang, bang. Genie hat, ruby, feather. Erica, can you look up the proper term for the genie hat?
Isn't it a turban?
Oh, careful there. Oh. I don't know. Just want to make sure we have it right.
I'll let someone else go on record with the...
Yeah, I mean, the only potential thing that's been offensive about any of this is you even just bringing up that it could be offensive.
Wait, doesn't Will Smith have a top knot and not even a hat whatsoever?
I haven't seen the film. But you sound like you know.
I read an article on Will Smith being DTG.
This is more like this is more like the cliche, you know, the signature genie of our past.
Gotcha.
All right.
It's an I dream of.
Now you went too far back.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, here we go. So we're all going to go around the horn. We're genies. We're going to grant one wish to NFL teams. Be somewhat quick about it. We want to hit as many teams as possible. But dig in, and we're going to start with Greg Rosenthal.
No, I've pointed over there. I want to see the vibe of what's
Oh, you want to get
on.
The vibe?
Yeah, yeah.
You want the vibe. All right, Chris Wessling.
Well, I don't know if I should be.
All right, let me start.
I'll do it.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
You know, I'm the leadoff hitter here.
All right, there you are. And we got a big game coming up Wednesday, the Shield, after a rainout.
Play ball.
4-2. Got to finish in that top three to be in the top four to be in the playoffs.
Any threat not to? 4-2 sounds like a good
record. I think we're going to have to essentially win about 5 of 7 to close out to make the playoffs, which isn't
really
impossible. Mm.
How many
it's a different structure this year. Mm.
Well, you could field a team of garbage cans against some of these teams in the league and still win.
Right. There's 8 teams. You got to get in that top four to be in the playoffs.
Okay.
All right. Anyway.
I like your chances, guys.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate that.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
All right. Here we go, Wes. Get us going.
Well, it's a make-or-break season for the Texans' offensive line, and the wish I'm going to grant them is that their first and second-round draft picks, Tytus Howard and Max Sharping, become instant impact bookend tackles, and they never have to play Matt Khalil or Centrell Henderson for even one snap of the 2019 season.
Mm. Mm. Concise, beautiful.
That's why you should have had Greg go first.
I was too busy. I was trying to communicate with eyes with Erica, and I wasn't listening, so I missed it.
I think it sounds like you didn't miss much.
What I was looking for was context clues from Greg or Mark.
No, I was going to jump in.
I didn't get it.
It I think it's a great wish to grant because it's not just a wish for Deshaun Watson or Texans fans or Bill O'Brien. It's for all NFL fans because it's if you guys see, you've seen on Twitter the last handful of days, those tier makers, you know, the it's been very popular. Yeah. You know, the tiers.
Surfing the zeitgeist.
A lot of zeitgeisty quarterback. It's one of it's a delightful little internet joke. But what I've noticed in some of these tiers, Deshaun Watson, it's like people are still like waiting and seeing to see about Deshaun Watson. And they're kind of like, okay, yeah, he's good. But like, I don't think people are giving him the full respect for a man who came back from a torn ACL and did what he did and did what he did as a rookie. And it's partly because of these offensive, it's largely because of these offensive linemen aren't giving him the optimal chance to shine as much as he can. So I want to see that.
I think the one negative result of that would be that Bill O'Brien and his GM friend, like, who have essentially done nothing.
His name is Brian Gain.
I know you love him. Like, they did too little to solve this issue.
They've tried.
They had tried. They've thrown stuff at it, but I don't think they've thrown anything. It's the opposite of what a team in their own division, the Colts, did with their offensive line over the past couple years. And they get away with looking too good. But that's what genies do. Genies give you things you maybe don't deserve organically.
Just to play devil's advocate, I think Brian Gain would say, look what I've had to pick from on the free agent market in the draft. I mean, you can't expect me to make chicken salad.
Yeah, I'm not. I think Brian Gain escapes
poop.
Some of the critique at this point. I don't know.
I mean, the offensive line. I think offensive line is largely about coaching. So,
all right. I'm going to grant a wish. I'm putting on the hat. What is the name? What is it called?
I'm seeing Genie Turban or Sultan Turban.
Okay.
I can't
so
get
Turban.
They occasionally wear for that one. The fez is occasionally thrown in as well. I'm doing that off of research. This is not, you know. There we go.
You'll see the fez.
All right, here we go. Here's mine. Sammy Watkins. Here's my wish. It's a wish for the Kansas City Chiefs that Sammy Watkins becomes the star. Two teams have been waiting for him to become for 6 years. And he was limited to 10 games last year because of that foot injury. It was the fifth straight season he didn't play a full season. Second time in 3 years he's missed at least six games. And he tweeted this, and this is an interesting tweet. I will be the best this year, mark my word. I want it more now than I ever did before in my life. I'm sacrificing everything to get where I once was. The world will now get to witness my greatness again. Hashtag Starship 14. Hashtag Limitless 14. A lot of stuff there. But anyway, Tyreek Hill's in limbo. Mecole Hardman from Georgia. They took him in the second round, and a lot has been made about that Hardman needs to make a instant impact in year one, and that's probably true. But I think a lot of people, at least I'll speak for myself, are kind of overlooking that Sammy Watkins, they gave the guy a three-year $48 million deal last year, about 14 months ago, with $31 million, $32 million guaranteed in the first 2 years. He's supposed to be the guy. He's supposed to be a star with Travis Kelce, and they're supposed to make this offense go still. So that is the wish I grant as the genie, that Sammy Watkins finally realizes that potential. And he's still only 25, which is crazy. He's turning 26 next month.
Does anyone in this studio know whether Sammy Watkins is a good or bad football player?
Relative to who?
I have no idea if he's good or bad. He's the least confident football evaluation in my life, I think.
I think I'm confident he can play, you know, as a starter in the NFL. Whether he's a difference maker at all, to me, is
the last time we saw
very
him
much
field,
up in the air.
He had 4 for 114 against the Pats in the championship game, that loss.
Yeah.
He can do it. He just has never put it together. He has his moments. But I will say this, and I even texted Rap Sheet to get his name. Everybody's got to fire their agent and hire Tory Dandy. That's Sammy Watkins' agent. That guy did a nice job.
Well,
if you want to get paid, you go to Tory Dandy's office.
Tory Dandy, obviously a bit of a genie himself. But I look at a guy in Sammy Watkins who had early career injury issues left and right, played with Kyle Orton, Tyrod Taylor, a bunch of nothing in Buffalo. And suddenly you go to the Rams and it's like, all right, now you're going to get a chance to see what he's really about. But then suddenly he's in Kansas City. He's running out of excuses from the quarterback angle at this point. He's in the best situation of his career. And I wouldn't put it past some receivers once in a while, finally in around year 5 or 6, becoming what they want. But I couldn't agree more that he's totally an enigma. I think he was a making the leap candidate at one point, and we're still waiting on
that. He's an enigma no more. The wish
not
is
after
granted.
This. Oh, not yeah. after
I
this.
Don't know. He's been in like the two best offenses in the league, and he's just
put on the turban, bro. I put on the turban, and now I know that's fine.
Yeah,
Greg.
All right, I'm putting on the turban, and I'm granting a wish to the Jacksonville Jaguars receivers this year, and I'm saying D.D. Westbrook, D.J. Chark. How about let's throw him in? And Marquise Lee. I'm gonna grant you a wish that the ball is where you expect it to be when you try to catch it this year, where you're gonna catch it in stride.
Mm. Something new.
Something new in your life. A.J. Bouye said this week that he notices plays in practice. He's not making as many plays because Nick Foles is actually putting the ball where it's supposed to be. This is a franchise that hasn't seen an accurate pass in like 6 years. Give me a, that's what I wish.
That is one of the most useful wishes in the entire conference.
Yeah, I've granted it. Give it. They deserve it. I think they're going to just – Pep's going to be in their step.
Gabbert was drafted in 2011, so it's been longer than 6 years.
Right.
It's been like a decade since they've seen an accurate pass.
Who knows? These guys might be unbelievable.
D.D. like
Westbrook
that.
Might be Jerry Rice for all we know.
We're going to find out now. That's why this is such an exciting seg. Mark?
It's a useful wish. I mean, when I think of having a genie, I think of asking for something like the most powerful thing I could ever imagine. So as my move for genie, and we just talked about him, I'm giving Pat Shurmur the rare human power to create a lightning strike from the sky. Now, hear me out before you just
that is rare.
Out, okay?
I've never seen it before. It's
rare is
we know the Giants. They're a hot mess, and they're probably going to, we're going to play Eli Manning for 2 years. No, you're going to be probably inserting Daniel Jones into the lineup by the end of September. Lots of issues. What I want to do is give Pat Shurmur the power to unfurl a bolt of lightning from the sky at any moment during game action so he can buy the Giants time on Sundays. According to Article 4 of the NFL rulebook, if the commissioner himself decides, if a lightning strike hits, he can decide how long to delay a game.
The commissioner
maybe even
this?
By days. If it goes beyond a ref's
Tampa Bay, you'll
right,
see it.
Absolutely.
Bucks,
so
week 3, they just put the lightning strike delay in now, just as a matter of course, before the game. They just assume
it's already there. And so this is another situation where Pat Shurmur, thanks to me, every time the Giants get into trouble with their young quarterback, instead of having to think quick, something the Giants have not been, Giants of industry at, Pat Shurmur can send down a massive
what a segue.
Bolt of lightning. And then he can just casually and calmly look over at the Fox camera and just sort of give him a, I told you so, look, once again, I'm delaying the game. The Giants can regroup, rethink their plan, and put a better football product on the field. Thank me.
So this is like in a baseball rain delay that goes on for an hour and a half.
I think you use it as much as you need to on Sunday.
Right. Hey, the starting pitcher doesn't come back out. This is a good time to change pitchers, change quarterbacks.
So they're
replaying.
This is his
you just sit back, you reassess, and it's Mother Nature. No, it's Pat Shurmur using supernatural
okay.
powers.
So I thought this was like you were saying this was going to be how he transitions from Eli to Daniel Jones, but it seems deeper than that. That it just like if he doesn't like the way the run game's coming together that day,
you may need it more. You might need it more for Eli Manning than Daniel Jones at this point. So whenever you need to slow things down,
like if he has to go number two, you just like
that too.
Got to get to the locker room.
That also
take care of business.
Yep.
Drop a light.
That's what you like. That's a true power that like a genie can give and be like, and he can't use it outside of football games, by the way. That was the other. He can't just use it to like blow up Highway 6 so he can take a side road.
I mean, hopefully he's a good guy because it could be used for evil. It
for
could
sure.
be like, we're losing to the Cowboys. Let's zap Zeke Elliott over on the other sideline.
Whatever it takes. Team first.
All right, good. We're going to go around the horn again. But I have some genie conundrums for each of you. I'm going to start with Chris Wessling. Wes, I grant you one of the following superpowers. Shurmur can throw a lightning strike to take a dump. So that's what he can do. But I'm going to give you three options. Unlimited intelligence, power of flight, selective invisibility. Choose one. And realize the classic genie move is to make you seem like, oh, these are all great. And then, bang, all of a sudden it ruins your life. Or, this isn't what I wanted, genie. I had to put it back. No.
Every time.
No, classic genie move. You got to pick one, though, Wes. The factor and everything.
Damn, that's a tough one. Flight? I'm afraid of heights, so that's not really helping me out.
Yeah.
I'll take unlimited intelligence, even though that's asking for...
a lot of trouble.
Yes, that's asking for tons of trouble. I'll never have a full night's sleep again.
No, I will, that was the last choice I would have.
I will be in a straitjacket within the next year.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or you'll be on a slab in some underground government bunker, and they're dissecting your brain while you're conscious.
Where's Genie then, Wes?
Plus, if I have unlimited intelligence, I'll find a way to make myself invisible. So, there we go.
Very good. Let's go around the horn again now, starting with Chris Wessel.
I'm taking that flight. Oh, yeah. I like invisibility.
Putting on my turban here with the...
Yeah, fine. You're clear.
With the sapphire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice.
And the lightning strike that came via Mark Sessler through Pat Shermer's hands and struck New York, it has repercussions that extend to Buffalo. And it gives Josh Allen extra powers of accuracy. Mm. The wish I grant Bills fans, long-suffering Bills fans, is that Josh Allen adds accuracy to his game and becomes the most electric quarterback in football this year.
Wow. Now that would turn the AFC upside down.
This guy was fun to watch last year down the stretch. He wasn't fun to watch the whole season, but when he's running for 100 yards... Just because he's more physically gifted than just about anybody out there, that's fun to watch.
And he's almost kind of fun to watch when it's not going that well either, if you're not a Bills fan. Because you don't know what the heck's going to happen on any play. There's not many quarterbacks out there like him. And there's something about like seeing him throw 15 feet over a guy's head that I enjoy.
Have you ever seen a quarterback like him?
Sure. There's some comparisons to... But not that inaccurate.
The mix of good and bad, I don't know.
Reputation. Like, sure, like a Randall Cunningham or even a Cam Newton. I think he's like a poor man's Cam Newton at this, at this point. For sure.
What I'd love about it, because assuming people wouldn't all know that there was a genie doing this, which would take some of the sort of magic away from it for the viewer, is that you hear all these off-season stories whenever there's a quarterback that lacks. It was, Blake Bortles initially, mechanics. Oh, I'm spending the off-season with Tom House. Always like, oh, you're going to come back and you're going to be good as new, and nothing really ever changes. They're always revealed to sort of not really have.
Could be the next Tom House.
He definitely could be that. But what if a quarterback did come back and suddenly was masterfully accurate with his running ability? The Bills suddenly go 12-4, and the Patriots with their zero tight end offense. Ben Watson, oh, look at me. I took the wrong supplement. 4-12. Bye-bye.
Sometimes the Tom House stuff works. Matt Ryan's MVP year, which is totally aberrant.
I don't mean to take down Tom House. If
that did happen, we'd probably wildly overrate that one season like we did Blake Bortles in 2015.
Ouch.
All right. Moving on. A lot of people are going to be surprised that I'm putting the turban on and going down to Nashville because, you hate the Titans and all that. Well, I'm here to help. Because good health and 16 starts for Marcus Mariota is the wish I grant to you Titans fans, who you annoy the bejesus out of me in my mentions. But you know what? As I've said on the show, I respect your passion and that you love your team and you believe in them. So that's what I will bestow upon you. And that doesn't say he's actually going to play well when he's healthy. I'm going to still leave that up to Marcus. But I'm going to say he's going to be healthy. Listen to this. This is crazy. Last year, he missed 3 starts and didn't finish 3 games due to in-game injuries. Here's the full list of injuries that Mariota dealt with during the 2018 season. He had the ulnar nerve issue in his elbow, which gave him the tingly throwing hand. That was week 1. He had the neck stinger against the Colts in week 11, re-aggravated it in week 16 against the Redskins, which cost him the big week 17 game. He did not play. He also had a cracked vertebrae, plantar fasciitis.
Sure, that's not actually.
He had a significant tear during the season. It became a full tear in week 16. He strained his oblique. He broke a rib, and he had a sprained AC shoulder joint. Now, not all of that, in my opinion, is bad luck. Maybe you're just not built for it. And there was just a report today I read that he has gained 12 to 13 pounds. Now, why not just say 12 or 13?
Oh, we saw him on TV. You could tell his thighs are huge. This guy's put together.
He looks physically built, and it all connects. The dots connect because he was a mess. He was not an NFL quarterback last year. He was like a regular guy on a field getting destroyed week after week. So that's the wish I grant. And you could find out, Titans fans, if he really is your golden boy, because given 16 games, perhaps he could throw more than 11 touchdowns in a season.
Do you have to take a connecting carpet when you're a genie and you're flying to Nashville?
Look at that.
Liked it. Liked it. Enjoyed it.
All right.
Wes has been sitting on that genie joke all episode.
Oh, I have another one. I have another genie conundrum. This one will be for Greg. Greg, here's your choice. If you choose to accept the wish, I transport you back to 1996, where you will be the greatest tennis prodigy since Boris Becker, who famously won Wimbledon as a 17-year-old in 1985. Well, now Greg is 17 in 1996. Do you take it? Do you go back in time and become the tennis prodigy? And I, classic genie move, you might say, yeah. I love tennis. I'd love to be a star and rich and win all these tournaments. But guess what? Genies are all about butterfly effect and like building it in the back end, and you don't know what's coming.
No doubt.
You then obviously lose.
Buyer beware.
Emeka and your children.
Wow.
Because your life is going to take you all around the world. You're probably going to marry a model.
That's not fair.
Right. You can't answer
You don't know that.
That was
classic genie move.
That means I'm not taking it. Right. But maybe, I don't know.
That was a test.
Does it wipe your memory? Yeah. I mean, that would have been.
Yes, it's a wipe.
But I would know. Yeah, you can't do that. But it sounds like fun, you know, competing like that at such a high level. What's better than that?
I don't get into tennis analysis much, but Mark and I are the only ones in the room old enough to remember what a sensation Boris Becker was.
I actually watched that 85 match at my grandparents' house. He was the most fun athlete to watch.
The pitch? What do you call it? Court?
Did you guys know that he famously won Wimbledon as a 17-year-old in 1985?
Watched it.
Watched the whole thing.
I think I would maybe be more like Michael Chang style, winning the French Open as a 17-year-old.
Chang bang.
But then
that was yeah.
But no,
I'm just saying because he's short.
No kids.
At all.
So definitely no.
I'll say no then.
Total memory wipe.
Well, the way you framed it, there's no way I could do it.
You couldn't return home.
Maybe I would have not thought it all the way through and just quickly answered.
The classic genie move. Shebang.
Well, right. Does the genie offering always come with a huge audience listening? Like, because maybe if Greg, if it were a one-on-one thing, maybe he thinks differently about his answer.
Off the air, tell us what the true answer is, Greg. All right. Who is up? The order's all jammed.
I'll go. Wait, are we going, am I going to have two more or just one more?
Well, maybe a speed round one, but definitely whatever one you like more, do now.
I'm gonna grant Jared Goff a great September. Jared Goff and Sean McVay, a great September.
And then what?
Then it's up to him, kind of like the Mariota.
Then he's
healthy.
Fine. I like that one.
I want to avoid a lot of, you know, this one's a little selfish. I want to avoid that becoming a storyline. I want to avoid just that being in the air late September. Did the Super Bowl forever change the Rams? No, let's just get off to a nice quick start, play your game. Move past that and then move on to the 2019 season.
I like anything that's a narrative buster, but I think if you wanted to go an extra genie step, you would have thrown Todd Gurley in there too, because that would have been a massive narrative buster.
Well, Greg wants his career to be over.
No.
Well, I didn't
well,
know
he's,
about that.
I don't know what's going to happen there. That's just an injury. Yeah, you're right.
Very good. Who's up? Mark.
I should have gone off of yours, Dan.
Ouch.
Because it's Tennessee Titans related, and it's I'm trying to dig deep into my genie powers, but I think actually the combination of yours and mine together.
You could have just had an extra one and just taken this one out.
No, this one had to be the way it was, but that's how it is. And it's, you know, the Titans get a lot of heat on this one on our podcast, so maybe this is a healing episode. We'll see. But what I would do as genie is I would put the finishing touches on a covert technology project that went dark in 2012. A project known to a small pool of scientists as the NFL Draft Debuster Machine. Trademark, all rights reserved. What does the NFL Draft Debuster Machine do? Some backstory. In 2012, scientists at Blandtech Industries in Wildwood, New Jersey, were weeks away from putting the finishing touches.
I've been to Wildwood, New Jersey. There are no scientists in Wildwood, New Jersey.
Not above ground.
Go on with your story.
Not above ground.
I just wanted to say that.
Not above ground. finishing touches on a carbon steel housing unit that, in layman's terms, would allow them to feed draft bus into said unit and have them emerge as draft home runs. The only caveat being that these draft bus must willingly or unwillingly hand over their DNA to the fine folks over at BlandTech Industries. These scientists would then feed that DNA into the carbon steel housing unit to illustrious results. For example, in goes the acquired DNA of Vernon Golston. Out comes a gold mine for the New York Jets, a monstrous, peak-conditioned, pass-rushing terror for Adam Gase to unleash. What a healing balm for fans. You can pull out that dusty Justin Blackmon jersey and put it right back on, because with one strand of Blackmon's hair, he's back, baby, and ready to spin 1,800-yard seasons for Nick Foles and the Jags. Greg's wish. There are deeper ethical issues involved with the project.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they have, like, some substance abuse counseling and everything.
Yeah.
They would come out with none of that being an issue.
It's messy, too.
Just the perfect peak condition. But as Genie, I'm looking past all the issues for the Titans, because here's what I do. I'm swapping out hot and cold Marcus Mariota with his 406 injuries and his 28 position coaches in favor of a supercharged, back-from-the-abyss version of Jake Locker, ready to lead the team into the next decade. Titans fans, you can thank me later and send a nice little note to BlandTech Industries in Wildwood Underground in Wildwood, New Jersey.
Be far underground.
I'd like to escort the 2019 Joey Votto to Wildwood, New Jersey, pop him into that machine and see what comes out.
Watch a tram car, please. Wow, that would be the idea of Jake Locker coming back into our lives. I just get goosebumps.
Yeah, I mean, that's a powerful machine.
Supercharged Jake Locker. None of the former flaws.
Well, yeah.
Great athlete.
Illustrious, non-draft bust, no desires to leave, to follow outside of life.
I think he was also worried about concussion issues.
Not anymore.
One of those, yeah.
All right, let's a quick one around the horn, Greg.
All right, I'm going to grant a wish to Russell Wilson. I grant Russell a coach that allows him to throw the ball a lot more. Now, I don't know if this is going to be Brian Schottenheimer finding religion or just a different coach. That's what I wish for Russell Wilson and the receivers to catch it, too.
I will grant a wish to my beloved New York Jets that they get this GM fiasco under control and end up with the right guy. And I'll even give you the guy, Joe Douglas of the Philadelphia Eagles. Everyone, hosannas about Joe Douglas. Put him in the chair and make sure it's not a yes man situation and get that house in order, because if Adam Gase is not the answer and he gets a yes man and the Jets go under and they're firing everybody in 2 years, not only is that another 2 years out of the playoffs for a team that hasn't been there in a decade, you're messing with Sam Darnold's future. And I will not stand for that. I've waited too long for Sam Darnold for ineptitude in the front office. So I grant organization and trust in the highest reaches of that front office.
I like it.
Wes.
Travis Frederick, Cowboys center, stays healthy, resumes a high quality of life after months of suffering. Cowboys offensive line vies with the Cowboys linebacker core as the most dominant position group in football and forces Greg Rosenthal to take the second half of their 2018 season seriously for once.
It always circles back to Greg. I love it.
Greg acts like the Cowboys were barely 500 in the second half of the season, just sneak into the playoffs, and are now a terrible team.
Greg, you don't even get to answer them, because
I love the Cowboys. They were the 25th offense in the league. It was a great defense and a lousy offense.
That's
what
misleading.
Mark.
Quick one for me. I think for Carson Wentz, after all he's been through the last couple years, to have a healthy season that he finishes in MVP form the way that we saw him back when he was a top-notch. And we put all this Nick Foles drama behind him and his career resumes, because I loved him when he was good, and I feel like what he's been through is more than you could ask most quarterbacks to deal with.
There you go. And one final Genie conundrum for Mark Sessler. Mark, I can place you on the grassy knoll, Dealey Plaza, 11-22-63 at 11:30 a.m. Central Time. Or I can give you the opportunity to relive that summer of 1993 at that camp in Connecticut you're always going on about.
Well, all right. That was not 93, but
97.
That was before this.
I would take
Camp Wild Camp Wyahasic? What is it?
No. Camp Jewel.
Camp Jewel. Camp that Love. Was later on. I would take the summer, though, even the summer of 93, because I don't – I think that
– 93.
Anything else where you're trying to change history, like I would be concerned about – and how do I get back?
If you want a little more detail, I give you 24 hours in Dallas.
I guess you could say that the if you want to go by the rule of greater good, preventing like a chaotic – unwanted death of a president
the shooting.
Would be better than reliving like a bunch of beer parties at a neighbor's house. So maybe I'll go grassy knoll for you.
Mm. Well, so you assume you can stop it.
Oh, I know I can.
Wow.
I mean, it'd be a nice time catching up with all those friends. And you're in the prime of your life.
Maybe the Gulf of Tonkin never happens.
Remember those days by
I mean,
the
you
lake?
Might just
yeah,
go
you gotta
the,
go
you might
good.
Just get shot on the grassy knoll.
Well, you gotta go greater good.
Sitting around the fire. First girlfriends, first kiss.
93? What do you think? I was born in 1983?
You're 10 years old with kisses?
Listening to the new Pearl Jam album. That sounds good to me.
No, you. I initially wavered, but I've taken the more responsible route here, I believe.
You're a good man, Mark Sessler. There you go. Good genie work. Genies are hot. We surfed that zeitgeist. We'll be back later this week at a day to be determined.
Thursday, right?
Thursday. The answer's Thursday.
Oh, I didn't know if there
was. I didn't know either. But now I know because you seem confident.
I think so.
Okay.
Got that whole schedule.
Let's do another show on Thursday. All right. This is it. It's Dan Hansen signing off for.
We've never podcasted before.
All right. Storm the Mailman, the old boss, and Ricky Hollywood behind the glass. Till Thursday.